There was a man at a party. He was dancing his heart out, breaking all kinds of moves, his hip-hop moves. He's flipping everywhere. Other amazing dance moves that he had. And this woman looks at her husband. So you see that man right there? Many years ago, he proposed to me. I turned him down. He looks at his wife and says, looks like he's still for you. If you know who that wife was. We like to celebrate. Or, maybe you would think so. Because some people would prefer to complain or grouch or criticize, but that just ruins our life and misses the roses God places in our lives. Right? So we're going to celebrate, because I'm assuming you like to celebrate. And we like to enjoy and appreciate what's happened. Maybe you're the type that can find a positive thing in anything that happens. And most of us like to think of ourselves as that, but ask someone that will be honest with you where you're at. And challenge yourself to look at the good things. You know, when you're positive, it causes you to appreciate things that you would never notice otherwise. Think of some of the things that we like to celebrate, though. Sports. When someone scores, craziness ensues. Noises, screams, dances, high fives, belly slaps. You know, when the Chiefs are playing, Jeremy, who's stuck working today, and I are on a text back and forth, either complaining or celebrating. It's nonstop. Do you do that, Carlos, for Green Bay?
I always celebrate. I was going to complain.
No complaining, so you don't send any texts. No, okay. It's funny, sports will get you excited, get you into it. And you may have found out I like sports. But when a man proposes to his girl, what God did, there's excitement, even people not involved. Really? Let me see the ring. Gotta see it, right? I mean, guess what? She's proud to say, check it out. Excited to get the hugs, and then there's the wedding, the giggles, the excitement. And then that big old party. Yeah, Charlie the giggling. And then there's pregnancy. And there's that excitement too, and revealing. You've seen all the weird ways that people have revealed their pregnancies. Bad things have happened, like houses get burned down and stuff too. So think through what you're going to do. But there's an excitement. No one's there when there's a first dirty diaper. But when you tell me pregnant, everybody's excited for you, right? When there's sickness that is healed, when debt is paid off, you have a new job, a new home, a new car. We like to high five, congratulate, check it out, be there for you. We like to celebrate, and we should. We should celebrate many things together. With me? Together. If you open your Bible to Romans chapter 12, Paul, the man that God used to pen this letter, is writing to the Church of Rome, writing to believers that are growing in Christ, they're gathering for worship, and he's telling them what salvation is going to do to them once they stop and they place faith in Jesus Christ. They let the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross forgive them for their sins and pay for death. And he's going to tell them what the Holy Spirit is going to do for them and change them. And at the time of salvation, in Jesus, our life has changed. It's transformed. And in Romans chapter 12, go down to verse 9. We're going to read a handful of verses there. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being right here with us. Lord, I ask that you'd give each one of us, Lord, a touch that we need today, a touch of encouragement, a touch of challenge of how we act with one another, that our eyes would be open to the way you want to work. Lord, I ask you to remove any distraction that gets our mind elsewhere. And right now, we just let your spirit speak to us through your word. And Lord, I ask that you'd have your way, give me the words to say right now. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Now, as we look at this passage, there's a bunch of verses there that we kind of just get ideas of the build up for today's main verse. Notice what Paul said to these believers, that their lives will completely change at salvation. If you follow before we got to verse 9, you know, because the blood of Jesus washes away our sins, and the Holy Spirit comes and resides within us. But that's only the believers, right? That's only those that place faith in Jesus Christ. And as the Holy Spirit resides in us, the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5 starts to slowly appear and be seen in our lives, in our words, in our actions. Verse 9, he says, you're going to love. It begins a love-hate relationship. You notice that in verse 9? It says you're going to start to hate ungodliness and sinful things. Those things you know damn people to hell. Separate people from God. Those things that caused Jesus to go to the cross for you. You with me? And then he goes on that you will love as the Spirit continues to change and move in your life. You're going to start to love the things of God. You with me? God's Word. You love God's Word? You're going to start to love the things of God. You're going to love the church of God. You're going to love the praise of God. You're going to love the worship of God. The Spirit of God changes us. Verse 10, he goes on that your attitude towards others is going to change. You might think you're kind already. Before salvation, you were a nice person. But see, once the Spirit of God comes upon you and you're a child of God, your kindness has a different purpose. Did you catch that? Make that personal. After salvation, your kindness has a different purpose. And your kindness is no longer so that you can be seen as a good person. Your kindness is not so that you can feel good about doing good things. You with me? Why do you do what you do? The purpose of your kindness, once the Holy Spirit comes into you, is because you start to reflect Jesus Christ. And he can be seen in you. Is that hard? It's not because it gives you the goosebumps or it's the right thing to do. It's because the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and you start acting different. It changes your life. Verse 11 tells you, and in doing this, having the Holy Spirit, being changed, just don't be lazy. Remember, all you do is for the Lord. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, to all the glory of God. Everything you do as a believer is for the Lord. It's the reason he gave us a spirit of power so you can accomplish this calling in your life. And then in verse 11, it tells you not to be lazy, but in verse 12, he says, you don't have to worry no more. You have the hope of God and the access to the throne through prayer. Isn't that awesome? Is it awesome to have the power of God upon you through the Holy Spirit? Is it awesome to have the hope of God in his word? Is it awesome to have access to the throne of God because Jesus Christ opened up access? It's quiet in here. Get her to say something again, because I need some room. Oh, okay. Okay. Never mind. Hug it, Karen. Can I get a whoop whoop? No. You see here, what Paul is saying to this church, listen, when you place faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit takes root in your life and he starts to transform you, your life is changed. Your view is changed. Your attitude is changed. Now, it's not a quick instantaneous thing, unfortunately. But as we grow enough to hear this, the Holy Spirit transform us, our life starts to change. The purpose for which we live changes. And in that change, notice with all this change, what verse 13 tells us, the work of God takes our eyes off ourselves and places them on others. Verse 13, be generous and helpful to others. He's specific to believers here. Why? This reflects Jesus. How did it reflect Jesus? How generous was he to you? He gave his life for you. You see, in order to be Christ-like, wouldn't it?
Man, did you see that goober fly? That was a good one. I haven't had a bottle, but I need some water. It's like I'm doing a spray for you.
You see, when you start letting the Spirit of God work in you, and you start to reflect Jesus, your eyes cannot be on yourself. Because Philippians tells us that even though Jesus knew he was God, he put on flesh and came and suffered for us. He did not stay in his comfy throne in his glory of heaven because you and I had a need. He took his eyes off himself and sacrificed himself for you. And that's what we're called to do as we start to reflect Jesus Christ. So he tells you to be generous for other believers. Why? Because Jesus thought they were worth it. And then verse 14 says, God's going to change your thoughts about your enemies even. Oh? You ever had an enemy? Anybody here say no?
You're a fool.
You know what I mean? He changes your thoughts about your enemies. Let's face it, why do we think about our enemies?
Yeah, give me one more chance. I'll give you the double.
I'm going to pretend I'm greeting people behind them and help them in the head.
Yeah.
Larissa? She got Charlie literally. I'm telling you. Hi, how you doing? Wham, Dad. That was good. You've been working to cry. That was good. You okay there, Charlie?
Barely. My nonsense says it.
Hey. You see, when we start to reflect Christ and the attitude of Christ, what do we do about our enemies? We don't hate them anymore. We have a desire to show them reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ. We desire to introduce them to Jesus. Why? This reflects Jesus Christ who died for you and I. Who, while we were in our sins, what does he call us? Enemies of God. If you've never placed faith in Jesus Christ and call on him for salvation, the scripture says you're in your sins and you are enemies of the Holy One. Until you come to Jesus Christ. Call out for him. You're trapped as an enemy of God, and yet he offered salvation. And with all this change in us after salvation, God places us in a family called the church. You with me? The church. Don't make an excuse not to attend church. You with me? Don't make an excuse to attend church. I tend to miss out on church and not be a part of church. Throughout the New Testament, it speaks about church. Most of these books in the New Testament are to a church. The other ones are to a church leader. In Revelation, the first couple chapters name off seven churches. The church sets up, the Bible tells us what the hierarchy of the church is supposed to be. How to conduct the church. You with me? You see how important the church is? Don't make an excuse for not being a part. You move away. Can't find one like your home church? Because I've heard these often. Man, there's no church like my own church. You're right. Each church has its own personality. Even in many churches, you know they're all a little bit different, right? You with me? Every church is a little different. Is that wrong? No. No. They're made up of different people, different leaders. But as long as they follow the word of God, the same word, they can be different. You've been to some churches, the music is way different than what we sing. Catch that? The look, the appearance of the place is different. Each church has its own personality. Each church, now check this out. Each church has hypocrites. I'm with that church, just got a hypocrite. Well, he's got space for one more.
We got two.
I can hear that reason. Now let's do this for a second. Now here's a personal challenge. Have you ever been a hypocrite? If not, you're being one right now. With me? Don't make it as an excuse. There's hypocrites everywhere. You know what? I went to the store the other day. I walked in the store and there was a hypocrite in there. I still bought my food. Don't make excuses.
You
weren't
looking at me, were you?
No, I did run into you then. That wasn't the time. See what happens? One little word. You know what? Something else every church has? It has problems. We have problems. And we talk about it in Sunday school. Guess what's going to happen tomorrow? We're going to have more problems. And God uses those to grow us. Opportunities to grow. See, you're responsible to find a church that's focused on God's word and fulfill the Great Commission together. So you need to join that body, grow in that body, serve that body together. And look at the depth of the relationship you should have with that body of believers God takes you to, which is our key verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, right there. Look at verse 15. Understand, after all that change and transformation God does in us, after salvation, after giving us the Holy Spirit power, what did he tell you to do? Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Well, that's pretty simple. Let's go home. Now, I'm a pastor. I got to preach longer. You see, all the work of the Holy Spirit changed me. It takes your eyes off yourself. You with me? Think about that. Takes your eyes off yourself and puts them on others. Placing you in a church family with people so that you can have a pure intimacy. And here we see the two things we should do together. Rejoice and weep. Rejoice. And we have to reverse that order today, because that's our only 2 points, just 2 points, pretty simple today. Okay, I want to reverse that as our main focus is rejoice. But to truly have intimacy, you're going to have to deal with the pain as well. Love my wife to death. Always will. Told her, I get to die first. Can't go without her no more. But you know what? This relationship would be a lot of fun if I could skip all the pain, all the trials, and just leave that for her. But that's not true intimacy, is it? We go through those hardships together. And those hardships are designed to grow us stronger. And what does the scripture say there? In the verse 15, weep with those that weep. Have a cry fest if you got it. Bless you. I heard it, but I... You with me? Think about that. Have a cry fest if you guys. Cry together. When you go through some tough times, we have some watching loved ones struggle with health problems. You ever had that?
Yeah.
We have some in this church. Yeah, see? You don't have to be able to understand that concept. We have some in this church that are just hurt. Because they're watching family deteriorate, hurt, suffer. And in Sunday school, there's those prayer requests. More intimate. I always challenge people to come be a part of Sunday school because it's just a very intimate, very informal time of study and prayer together and laughing and making fun of each other. Some in here are dealing with those health issues themselves. And then they get bad news from the doctor. The doctor can't figure out what to do. We have some hurting in relationship problems, distant family. We have some that are fearful in different reasons in their lives and things going on. We have some that have lost loved ones, left with an empty spot in their house. Suddenly that bed that you've slept in for years becomes very big and empty. The couch. House becomes very silent. And there's pain and there's weeping. Often, you don't know what to do for them, don't you? Do you? You ever had that time where you want to say something, you don't know what to say? Let me just throw a suggestion out. Please, please, please don't force yourself to say something. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Don't make yourself say something. You know, you could say something hurtful. You could say something that's untrue. Just don't say nothing if God isn't giving you the word to say. You know what that person, let me tell you, nothing you say is going to make that person go, oh, I'm better now. Okay? means is that you care. Hurt with them. Cry with them. Hug them. Pray over them. See, this is the depth of intimacy the church is supposed to have. Why? Because the church is one body. You're a part of First Baptist Church. You're part of the body. Other part of the scripture referred to as a family. And when someone hurts in that family, it hurts. But in 1 Corinthians 12, 26 says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffers with it. When one part hurts, the whole body hurts. You ever stepped on a nail?
Yeah.
My mouth didn't utter. Well, I feel bad for you, foot. That's a real shame, but I'm glad it wasn't me. Now, guess what? When I step on a nail, my mouth reacts. I trained myself to start singing Jesus Loves Me. You know what happens? My eyes react. I'm like, ah, right? You with me? Your whole body hurts. You know what? When someone in this church family, this body, is hurting, there's an intimacy here that hurts us all. It hurts us all. Somebody tells you to weep with those who weep. It's not just some little picture. It's true. It hurts me deeply to know you're hurting. We have a funeral where someone lost a loved one, and it hurts me for that family. Go to make hospital visits where someone's scared to death. It hurts. It's scary. That's how the body of Christ is supposed to operate as one member. Because of our intimacy, our deep love and concern for one another, we hurt with them. This is a genuine hurt of brokenness for each other. Understand that not only does that crying together reflect our intimacy, but did you know crying also reflects Christ? Think about that for a minute. Crying because I can feel your pain. Reflects Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to his friend's house, he was greeted by two sisters, Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus had just died. They're weeping. And everybody's favorite verse in the whole Bible, John 11:35, quote it for me.
Jesus wept.
Good. Jesus was broken. His friend died. He's watching two sisters just broken and crying. And what did he do? Well, you know, he's in a better place. And now what we usually want to say to try to comfort him? Especially if it's not true, don't say that. I know, Pastor, you're not supposed to say that. Supposed to comfort him? No. Can't lie about those things. We'll give account to God. Be careful what the mouth utters. Did you get a count for every word that comes out of your mouth? See, Jesus loved them. When he saw them hurting and he lost his friend, that verse didn't have to give detail. It says, Jesus wept. He cried. Now think about that. The creator of the universe was broken. His tears flowing from his face mingled with the tears of Mary and Martha. You with me? That's just an example of weeping. When you think about Jesus, you want to reflect Jesus? Don't put on a facade and learn how to put on tears. Grow intimate with one another in the world when someone cries. Really broken. That's the intimacy we're supposed to have. Weep with those who weep. And Jesus did. He showed his love through those intimacy and crying with them. We're told to weep together. That's the depth of our love, is that we can be broken when another's broken. That's the depth that we're supposed to grow together. But listen here, our weeping should lead to praying. If you're all you're doing is flowing some tears, that's not going to do a whole lot of good. Now, it shows some friendliness and unity. But here's what your weeping should lead to in Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, this is the intimacy with God that is shared with intimacy with others. Is when you bring those intimate relationships together, we can come to the throne of God for one another. If you have to get to weep, if you have the privilege to weep with someone you love, guess what? Take them to the throne of God. Pray for them. Pray with them. If we're going to weep together, though, what else are we going to do together? We're going to celebrate. Okay. I love to pray with you. I love making hospital visits because hopefully I can be an encouragement. I can spend some time talking to you. It becomes kind of a one-on-one, one-on-two situation. Get to know each other better. Get to share some scriptures. Sometimes we talk football. I know that shocks you. We talk about the weather. I don't know what we're going to talk about. But hospital visits are incredible to make because hopefully I can encourage someone. Because those days in the hospital, if you've stayed in the hospital very long, those days in the hospital are long. I mean, you got your own TV, right, you know. But the TV gets old after about 15 minutes or so. Unless they got ESPN, then 30 minutes is pretty good. Are you with me? Those are long, so it's encouraging to be able to go and be with someone in a time of need. But guess what? Sometimes it's nice to celebrate together. You like to celebrate together? What's verse 15 tell you to do? Rejoice with them that do rejoice. You know, it sounds like much more fun and more excitement to celebrate good things together. It seems so easy to do, doesn't it? But Satan's good at destroying everything. Stealing your joy. Placing your eyes back on yourself. You ever had or heard someone celebrating a blessing? You with me? Be honest to yourself. Between you and God here. You ever heard of someone celebrating a blessing? And the thought goes through your mind of, well, he don't deserve that. Don't raise your hand. Ever heard someone celebrating a blessing? No, I've been praying for that. Why did he get it? I can use that better than he can use it. Yeah? I've been more faithful to God than them. Why they get blessed? Let me read this verse to you. To see, at times, your excitement for them can fall apart and be stolen. But listen to Proverbs 17:5. He that is glad in calamities shall not be unpunished. You hear that? He that is glad in calamities shall not be unpunished. Satan knows how to stir up your own pride, to steal your joy and your blessings, and God will punish this proud, arrogant, putrid spirit because it's not Christ-like. When you can't celebrate someone else's blessings, shame on you. Can I get an amen there? Amen. Okay, make sure someone's with me there. You say those things and you start getting scared, people get mad. You with me? See, if we once had a friend, I say once, she's still alive. She couldn't have kids. She actually one time gave birth to a baby who was missing half her head, and she lived just a couple hours right there in the hospital room. People in the church, when they found out they were pregnant, were scared of letting her know because everyone knew she would hurt. She had begged God for a baby. The truth is, she was the first one to give that mama a hug every time, to get excited with them. Wanted to hold that baby, be with that baby. She was happy for other couples, even though she was broken in her own grief. She could rejoice with those that rejoice, even while she was weeping. But God is blessed. Years later, now it's three beautiful babies. But Paul, in teaching the church in Corinth, listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, says this, that when one member be honored, all the members rejoice with him. When one member be honored, all the members rejoice with him. When there's a person in our church that gets a blessing, we should all go look for him, yeah? Karen, that's for you. blessing, man, don't let Satan start throwing doubts in your head. Well, they don't deserve that. I've been more today, have I? I'm better than they are. No, don't let Satan do that. He'll steal your joy. Celebrate for him. Tell him how great that is. Hug him. Pray with him. When one part of the church is, the scripture says, honored, in other words, he has victory, he receives glory, the entire body should be encouraged. One of us has received a big blessing. Isn't that great? The entire body should celebrate. Someone gets a raise, gets a job, gets a new vehicle, gets a new house. Celebrate with them. They get pregnant, congratulate them. Isn't that a lot more fun? What do you mean? Isn't that cool? You see, truth is, there is one specific thing that is celebrated above all else. One thing that's celebrated above all else, and our church loves to celebrate. One thing that as a church, everything we do leads to this. One thing that as a church, our whole purpose focuses here. One thing, you with me? That all of heaven, now, if heaven celebrates it, should we? One thing that all of heaven celebrates. And Jesus, the one who told us about this, because one day the scribes and Pharisees were gathered around Jesus, grumbling, attacking him because Jesus had eaten with sinners. He had a friendship with them because he was teaching them the gospel. He was loving them to Christ. And Jesus explained this in Luke 15:7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 persons which need no repentance. Heaven goes crazy when one person recognizes their sinfulness. See, Jesus says that all of heaven parties, gets excited because one person repents. What does it mean to repent? It's to change our mind and our heart about sin. And to turn to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Understand that he has paid the ultimate price for sin. He has shed his holy blood upon the cross to save us from what we deserve, to save us from damnation and hell, separation from God, which will all be cast into the lake of fire. But when we place faith in Jesus Christ, salvation is given to us, and heaven erupts. Our church loves it. When someone makes a call upon the name of Jesus Christ, this church gets excited. Amen? You with me? You don't believe me? Come here when we do a baptism one day. Man, this church loves it. We shouldn't sit there and go off clap like that's cute. No, that's a big deal. Someone has declared I'm a child of God. I'm his servant. I'm his friend. And this is what brings joy to God in the heavens. This is better, and it says, than 99 people who thought they were sinless, thought they were good enough, and didn't want salvation, didn't want to repent. It says one that repents brings joy to heaven. If you have placed faith in Jesus Christ, we celebrate with you, and all of heaven celebrates with you. If you have not, I would love to show you today in God's Word how you can be saved. You with me? How you can place your faith in Jesus Christ and your sins be removed from you. You know what I mean? The block that's between you and God will be removed. Not because of anything you did good, because you trusted the one that did. She's in a hurry to get to the altar. Repent, young child. Now evaluate that in your own life. Has heaven celebrated for you? Have you placed faith in Jesus Christ? All of heaven celebrates one more eternal soul that will be in the glory of God. But as we get ready to leave, we're about to close up. Here's a challenge. Have tunnel vision. Listen to that. Have tunnel vision. I've been driving the school bus quite a bit to games, and the other day went like 15 days away, it felt like I'm going that far to Lenox. But on the way back, it's dark, and I had to just hear mine in the training. Because you remember, when you're driving and you got a bunch of kids in the back, you got to be ultra careful. And remember, you can easily get tunnel vision on that road. And we are told, don't get tunnel vision. Look right. Why? I had to dodge a bunch of animals that night. Not dodge, to stop. Bus dodging is kind of funny, but you know. But in our spiritual walk, we need to get tunnel vision. Bringing just into what we need to think about, what we need to celebrate. Because there'd be a lot of temptations distracting us, bringing us down, destroying us. But we need that tunnel vision, looking on the good things that we get to celebrate instead of letting the bad things flood out. That's why Philippians 4:8, some of you can quote this, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see the tunnel vision? He said, bring it into this. Focus on this. And if you'll focus on those things, you will celebrate. And that's what our church wants to do together. We want to celebrate, don't we? And in celebrating, sometimes we have to leave. That's a challenge. Maybe today, before you go home, you need to find someone and just ask them, how can I weep with you? Which leads to prayer. In other words, how can I pray for you? Don't do it publicly. Just you and somebody asking, how can I pray for you? How can I invest in you? But then don't stop there. How can I celebrate with you? What can I thank God for? What's awesome going on? You see how we build intimacy that way? We weep with each other when we weep. We celebrate when we celebrate. That's the depth of the intimacy we should have. Is that we're not upset, we're not jealous of one another. We want to help each other grow. Push each other closer to the lap of Jesus Christ. And so let's be thankful that God brought us together as his church. Can we do that? Would you stand with me? You see, God has brought us together as a church. Maybe you're just visiting with us. We'd love to have you back. But the purpose that we can help each other grow. When you're weeping, I can strengthen you by weeping with you. Because you know what? We're so intimate, so close, and so tight that I'm hurting too. You ever been there? We need that. But then when you celebrate, no matter how minute it is, I'm celebrating with you. Now, I'm going to tease Wyatt when the Cowboys lose. But this year, he already got to tease me if he wanted to, because we just wanted to give the other team a chance for a little bit. But see, in brotherly love, we're encouraging each other, just on each other's team, right? Let's build that intimacy to where we hurt when one another hurts. And if that hurt causes prayer, when we celebrate, when each other celebrate, which causes more prayer. One is I make supplication for you. It goes to the Father for you. The other, I thank God for you. We're a body of Christ, right? Let's sing a song together you're familiar with. God's word, how he's already done the work to redeem you, in other words, to purchase you out of death, to pay for your sinfulness. It's very simple. All he says is to place faith in Jesus Christ, call upon him for salvation. Love showing God's word, not my word, his word. It don't matter what time it is, after church, middle of the week, 3 o'clock in the morning. That'll be a thrill, and I will celebrate with you. So how about we close in a word of prayer? Can we do that? Brother Carlos, would you close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this church that we've given to us, that we can come in and celebrate your name and be a part of this family. And we ask that you bless each and every one of us here today and guide us through this coming week. And we do this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We just real quick before everybody takes off.